Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you may have seen in the news today that TV license inspectors in this country are coming in for a bit of abuse, for I suppose all the obvious reasons, so much so that they've had to receive resilience training. So what exactly is that? Richard Burke is MD of Resilience Matters. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Sean.
If someone comes to you for resilience training, what are you trying to instill in them?
When you squeeze an orange, Sean, what do you get when you squeeze an orange?
Orange juice, mess, sticky hand.
Yeah. So when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. When you squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. When you squeeze Sean or somebody else, you get symptoms. So people, life squeezes people. So there's a couple of different ways people get squeezed by life. You can get squeezed by the environment. You can get squeezed by work. So things at work will squeeze you. And there's a number of things at work that squeeze people, like the demands upon them, how much control they have over the way they do their work, their manager support, how much their peers support them, and how road and change are managed. So each organisation has a responsibility for managing the bits that they're responsible for. But then the resilience training then, which is paid for by the company, is to teach people how to work hard but actually go home happy. People have different levels of resilience naturally, and I suppose the idea of resilience training is to get people on a level of playing field. So they can actually work hard to go home.
Right, okay. Now that's the aim. But how do you do that?
How do you do it? It's difficult. I've been doing this now for about 14 years. It's not like a typical training course, because if you go to a typical training course, like say for instance, you go to something like an Excel spreadsheet course, the whole class, it's like getting a jigsaw puzzle, and the whole class has the same jigsaw puzzle, it's the same picture, and at the end of the class, which is probably a day long, every student needs to fit in the same picture. So we all have the same assembled jigsaw puzzle. Resilience training is a psychological safety course, and every single person will have to learn their own thing. It's actually quite a difficult subject to teach, and I suppose the thing I specialise in. So you end up talking about how the mind works. People get workbooks, but they're to do an evaluation of the personality type, so they understand their own personality, because when you squeeze different people, they all react in different ways. And then people have the illusion that, you know, if I leave the company I work in and I go work someplace else, I'll be happier. You won't really, because they squeeze you too. It's all about self-awareness. And then you can talk about the big five, like openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neurosis. So people have to learn about themselves, about why they react in a certain way.
Okay. So, I mean, to a certain extent then, is that to learn, if you like, what your triggers are, or the things that wind you up?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people are in positions that I call emotional labour. So with the TV inspectors or a guard or a traffic warden or a person like that who's dealing directly with the general public and sometimes seeing the worst of general public, that person is like a cold front. They have to behave in a professional manner. And the person answering the door can be like hot front. They can use all sort of language that they want. It can be very aggressive. And where it clashes is where the bad weather comes from. And then each person, when that person goes home, they have to be able to compartmentalize it and actually leave it there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I imagine that would scare me, though, in a sense that like if you're a guard, and guards get a lot of abuse, probably a lot of them every day, they get a lot of abuse. They put it in a little box and you know, psychologically, they put it in a little box. If you put it in a little box like that day in, day out for a period of years, does it always stay there? Or do you have to kind of deal with it sometime?
Like, for instance, Sean, you're a journalist. So you sometimes over your career, you're going to be in a conflict situation with somebody who believes or thinks differently to you. In the back of your mind, that you associate a meaning with being a journalist. You're a journalist for a reason. You're a presenter for a reason. And you have a belief in what you're doing. If the employee of a person doesn't have a belief in what they're doing, if they don't see the value in why they're doing this, and that's a problem at the start, because it's a rocky foundation. So a person who's a guard, if they have a belief in the background that they're, you know, contributing to social value and they're providing value, they can learn how to compartmentalize it after that. And one of the temptations is to bring it home and talk about it with your partner all the time. Now, it is good to talk, but it's not necessarily good to talk to your partner all the time about work. It's important to find an external source to get rid of the baggage that you hold in your head, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Another thing that also is to stop comparing the verbal abuse stories. So one of the most dangerous psychological mechanisms that we have is called is competition. So, you know, you think you're bad, oh, I have it worse, yes, type of thing. So it's really important to not get engaged in that, because misery loves company. And then your subconscious mind starts to attach value to the misery.
Right. Okay. But if you, so if you're getting that, if you're getting that abuse, you can compartmentalize it and perhaps recognize, you know, somehow be aware of things that, you know, might bring you, draw you into a conflict. You don't want that to happen. So the effect, though, of the abuse you might receive, will that diffuse in time?
And sometimes it does. It depends. Again, it depends on your personality. It depends how personally you take it. We're all triggered for different reasons. So go back to the analogy I asked you at the start. When you squeeze an orange, what do you get? You get orange juice.
Mm.
And I'm not politically orientated, Sean. So when you squeeze a politician, you don't get anything. So so they don't react to it. And that's a mixture of things. It's a mixture of their personal psychological structure, which helps them to succeed in the area they've chosen to work in. But it's also a learned behavior. They've learned how to disconnect themselves from all the drama on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And it's a skill. It's a skill that some people have naturally. It's not a skill that I had naturally. It's a skill that I had to learn. And now I'm in the business of teaching people that skill.
Right. Okay. So, and for those who don't, and I know what you mean, you do come across people all the time who are naturally that way. If you don't, if you're not naturally that way, can you learn to do it so effectively that it will do you good in all situations? If you know what
absolutely.
I mean, right?
But it's like the course I run is just one day, because that's how the market works. But it's a one day course, and it's again, I said to you, it's not like a jigsaw puzzle where every single person needs to get to the end and have the same picture. And that's why it's difficult to teach. And everybody's like, it's like Lego blocks, and every single person will need to learn their own thing. So what I do is I use myself as a guinea pig in the class, to show people how I've done it, how I've managed my own anxiety, how I've learned to sleep properly again, how I understand my personality. So when I rotate the course around myself, then people are all safe and they can learn about themselves, and they fit in their workbooks and they learn about the personalities. And then probably the best follow-up that people can have is there's an MP3 download that people download after the course. And what they do then is they listen to it at home, and they teach them how to relax their minds, how to get things in perspective, and how to go to sleep properly.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime thing, Sean. It's not something that you're going to just be finished with once and for all.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about awareness.
Yeah. I would imagine as well, because you kind of alluded to sleep there, that if you're a TV license inspector, you don't want to, you know, go to work hangry or anything. There's probably lots of other things that can contribute to you not being fully able for the job on any given day.
Yeah, the problem is some people get really stressed at work. Sometimes people, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, maybe in the wrong job, so you have the wrong personality. Think of a call centre. So you have two groups of people in call centres. You'd have a person who has the natural attributes to take incoming calls. And you have a person then who has a different personality, who's more extroverted, that will probably be good at cold calling people. And even though you can train the first person to do the second job, they're not going to be that good at it, because it doesn't suit their personality.
Yeah. I imagine though, for the TV license inspectors though, at the same time, you're a TV license inspector, you knock on the door, somebody kind of comes screaming out the door once they realise what you are and start, you know, blaming you for writing somebody's pay or whatever, but you still want to see their TV license, but they're refusing to give you the TV license.
Yeah.
Is that like an instance of, well, I can't fix this situation, and you move on to the next house? Or do you just stand there and go, no, show me your TV license as calmly as humanly possible?
I don't know what their procedure is for asking for the TV license, but I suppose the next part after resilience training, which has got through the person, there's also more technique-based stuff that people need to learn about conflict management. So what happens is, you know the old saying that people say, I'm up to 90?
Yeah.
You know, so you go up to 90, you get really stressed. So the person answering your door is up to 90. And the TV inspector has to calm himself down. He has to be in control of his subconscious. And considering all subconscious are different because of all the different personalities, so he has to calm the subconscious mind down in order to deal with the person. And then talk with facts, not feelings. Focus, identify the aggressive behavior. Be assertive, not passive or aggressive. Remind yourself why you're doing this job in the first place. And try and help the person to move forward, and then compartmentalize, because this is not a problem for you. This is a problem for the person who doesn't have the TV license.
Yeah.
The problem for you is that you're taking it personally.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a very fine line, Sean, between being very passionate about what you do and taking it personally. And I suppose that's part of resilience training as well, it's about navigating that line.
Richard, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Richard Burke there, Managing Director of Resilience Matters.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.